FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Carrie Lutz. The date is July 6th, 2015, and we finished up June, and well, a little bit of a dull month, but we're not going to have that problem with July. That's for sure. We've got Mickey Fulp with us to go over for the major market monthly review. Mickey, what do you think of June?
It's kind of boring, Carrie. I don't know what to say. The markets were basically flat for the most part over the month, and even the first half of the year. Dow was down 1% over the month, 1% on the first half of the year. S&P 500 basically flat for the month and the first half of the year. NASDAQ was a little different, down 1.5% over the month, but it was up nearly 5%. Over the year, and so it's still pushing that 5,000 level. Doesn't seem to be able to get much above that. The Russell 2000 flat for the month, but up 4% over the year. So we're seeing the tech and the small cap markets continuing to work pretty good. Major markets relatively flat. Canadian markets both down 3% for the month. The Venture Exchange is pushing again toward its all-time low. It closed the month at 671, so I think the all-time low was 646. That index, there's just no interest in the junior exploration mining sector. Plus, you know, we've got the summer doldrums pending here, and that's usually a fairly dull time. The emerging market index ended up giving over the last 2 months all of its April gains, but it is up 1.7% for the half, down over 3% over the month.
Yeah, the emerging market index is really taking it on the chin. I mean, what we've seen since the month closed, but we'll be covering that next month, no doubt. So it looks like the old maxim, sell in May and go away, is definitely holding true so far.
Well, it looks like people have really gone away in the month of June. Of course, really, the summer doldrums don't officially start until after Independence Day, which was Saturday. And I trust you had a good 4th of July. So could just be kind of a bland summer here. It's lining up that way, it looks like to me.
Yeah, it is. And hey, on to the next markets. What do you got for us here?
Well, once again, the dollar index is hanging into that range of plus or minus 95, goes up into the 96 range, drops back down into the 94 range. But significantly, it closed the month at 95.5, up 6% over the year. Concomitantly, the euro was down 8% over the first half of the year. And that certainly has to do with something which happened yesterday, I guess. And the Greeks continue to drag down the euro. That's just a mess. They voted, as we all know, to continue their welfare state, and they rejected austerity, and they rejected the bailout. So we'll see where they go from here. But that certainly is dragging the euro down. 10-year treasury bond made quite a rally over the month, up almost 11%, up 8% over the year. But that rate is still hanging in at 2.35%. No one's very excited about that. Bitcoin up 10% over the month. Pretty unusual. It's been kind of weak lately, but it's still down almost 20% over the first half of 2015.
Yeah, it's got a ways to go till it gets where it was, huh?
Well, I don't think we're going to see the all-time high of 1125 for Bitcoin anytime soon. You know, it's now less worth less than a quarter of that. So
You're not seeing it with the Greek turmoil, and there's real turmoil in Greece.
Well, there certainly is. Yeah, it's just amazing that that the people continue to go on the track they're going on. It's a highway to hell, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's bad news. And what's gonna be the upshot there, Mickey? What do you think is gonna be?
I have no idea. You know, they're essentially a satellite province of Germany now. The Germans own them economically, and you know, I'll tell you the truth. I don't think the Germans are too sad about that. What's the upshot of it? Well, you know, you've got a socialistic welfare state, and we've seen time and time again that doesn't work. And eventually they're going to default on all these loans. It's inevitable. And, you know, it's not so unusual for countries to default on their obligations. Even the grand old U.S. of A has done that twice since my parents were born. First, when Roosevelt devalued the dollar and increased the value of gold in 1933, and then when Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971, gold went from 35 an ounce to eventually, very soon, 175 an ounce. So essentially, those were defaults too.
Yeah, they were. You are correct. And Greece is notorious for defaults, right? I mean,
well, next to Argentina, I don't know a more screwed up economy in the world, I guess I would say.
Yeah, that is true. Except for all the rest.
Well, except for the fact that Argentina has arguably is one of the richest countries in terms of natural resources in the world. They've got just about everything. But once again, the parentist, the socialistic welfare state and the corruption that exists there. I mean, how many times have they defaulted? At least two or three in the last 10 or 15 years. So
they're on their way again.
Yeah, it appears that way. Yeah.
So it won't be long.
Tried to nationalize the oil company last year and ran all the mining companies out of there with the fear that it was going to happen to them. So, you know, countries that just keep stabbing themselves in the foot. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And they don't learn from history. But hey, as is said, Mickey, the one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. And speaking of mining companies, why don't we talk about our precious metals group?
Not very exciting here. Gold was flat over the first half of the year. It's range bound within this 12 plus or minus $1,200 range, down 1.5% over the month. Don't see that changing. Silver closed the month. And spent most of the month, less than $16 an ounce, closed at $15.66. You know, there's basically no one cares about silver except the silver bugs that you see at the Silver Summit in Spokane every year.
a diminishing number of people at that.
I'm certain that's true. I've never been to the Silver Summit, but I imagine attendance is not too good in this economic realm. Meanwhile, platinum continues to show weakness, minus 3% over the month, down almost 11% over the first half of the year. The platinum to gold ratio, which historically should be well above one, hit a low of 0.92 over the month. That's anomalous. Still gives me a buying signal whenever I'm going to take down a couple ounces of precious metals. Platinum's my choice right now because it is undervalued with respect to gold. And finally, palladium corrected over the month, down 13.5% over the month. You know, it is finally showing the weakness that we've seen in the other three precious metals for the last several months. Finally hit the palladium market. It's down 16% over the year. Closed the month at 673. The gold-silver ratio is pushing that magical number of 75. Now, if I could just find someplace to buy silver without a huge markup, and that's always been the problem with silver, the markup is considerably above the other precious metals.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why. that is, but it is. And even copper was very weak, down 10% over the first half of the year, 5% over the month, pushing down into the 250 range again today as we speak. You know, I'm not really sure why, if that's demand from China lessening or what, but copper market's been pretty weak over the last month or so.
Yeah, copper has been in the pits, as it were. Yeah, all the commodities just seem to be deflating here. And
well, we're in a deflationary environment, really.
Yeah,
if I'm sure. That's very arguable, and what's the end in sight for that? I'm not really sure.
And yeah, so let's look at our energies, just in case you weren't sure. Our energy sector. What's going on with our Brent here? Our Brent.
Well, both oils and were the big movers over the first half of the year. Both of them up over 11% over the first half, showing some weakness lately. WTI closed the month at a little less than $60, but been hanging in there plus or minus 60. Brent is the arbitrage between Brent and WTI continues to narrow. Brent closed the month at 63.59. That arbitrage now is down to 1.07, which is lower than we've historically tracked it a bit. And that probably has something to do with what's going on in the Eurozone. Henry Hub was up 7% over the month, closed at 283 on the spot. I think that must be seasonal demand. As you just pointed out, your air conditioner is on the blank today in Florida. And I don't envy you with 90 degrees Fahrenheit, 90% humidity. Hopefully, but you know, this is the heart of the air conditioning season over the next couple of months, and so yeah. That strength in Henry Hub is certainly explainable with that. Uranium over the month. Recovered a bit, closed at 36.63, a little bit less than 37 a pound. It spent most of the month in this range. And this comes after the DOE dumped 3 million pounds of conversion on the market in April. And then TEPCO, the Tokyo Power Company, which owns a significant number of the reactors in Japan, which are idled, dump some excess uranium or some uranium supply on the market, presumably to pay for their very expensive LNG that they've replaced for their baseload electricity.
Yeah, yeah. And so what about our ratios here?
Well, we've already talked about Brent to WTI, that spent finished the month at 107, historically low since we've been tracking that arbitrage. And once again, I would attribute that to lessening the ban because of problems in the Eurozone, specifically with Greece. And geez, over the weekend, I heard mention of Cyprus once again. So
Cyprus again.
So, yeah. You know, this is like a broken record. We've been dealing with these things. You know, if memory serves, the so-called Greek crisis, and I'm undetermined how a crisis can go on for over 4 years. But if memory serves, the first time we really heard about this was in around April of 2011, and that's when commodity prices led by silver crashed then from almost 50 an ounce down to about 35. And so this has been going on for well over 4 years. And, you know, I'm not sure. I thought a crisis was something that was immediate, but this one has some legs, obviously.
Amazing. Really amazing that it's more a soap opera than a crisis here, Mickey. You know?
It really is. Yeah, it's freaking just, great. Yeah, it's amazing that this could be let gone on by economic policies in the world, that it just continues to come back.
This is ridiculous.
Periodically.
Come on already.
Pardon?
It's just silliness at this point. I mean, they want to make an example out of Greece so that Spain, Italy, and Portugal don't come with their tin cup and demand stuff. So, you know, having a little manageable chaos in Greece is a perfectly acceptable price. And but they don't want to drive them too far that they go into the Russian sphere and the Chinese sphere. And the Greeks aren't totally stupid about that either. They know that the cost of becoming a Russian puppet is not one that they want to endure. And they know that they got to cut back on all of this government largesse, or the country is doomed, just like the U.S., just like the entire Western world. If you don't cut back on these pensions and the government trough, if you don't cut it off, Western civilization as we know it is going to take a humongous hit. It's really that simple.
Yeah, well, I saw today that the Portuguese Socialist Party is emboldened by the rejection of the Greek referendum, and so now they're calling for to be treated more benevolently by the powers that be in the Eurozone.
Let their banks collapse, because that should be the lesson that they're learning, not withdrawing from the euro. I mean, I think the euro is a bad experiment and had a lot of inherent flaws in it. But if you want your banks to shut down, then follow the Greek example, because that should be the lesson they take from it.
Or the Cyprus example.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who knows?
Well,
luckily, we've got a big pond that separates us from them, and it's always protected us, and it will continue to protect us in some regard.
From your mouth. Anyway, Mickey, obviously, you know that you find Mickey's work, and he's prolific at mercenarygeologist.com, but he's also got mercenarygeologist.fm, and you've got some other sites too, right, Mickey?
Well, we've got at mercenarygeo is the Twitter feed, and that continues to grow in the number of followers, well over 42,000 now. So very active in that. And so we'd encourage everybody to follow us on Twitter too.
Right. And of course, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, where we carry a lot of Mickey's writings, and make sure you sign up, webinars coming up, newsletters. We were the first of any newsletter out there to detail what was happening, or what's become known as the war on cash. I called it Operation Dirty Money, but you can call it what you like. Anyway, Mickey, gotta go. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.